The Disability Royal Commission resumes this month, next month, as it works towards delivering its first major report in October. The next public hearings will be in Western Sydney, taking a look at allegations that some people with cognitive disabilities are dying because of poor healthcare. It was a fairly rocky start for this Royal Commission. Some advocates were critical of the lack of disability voices in its opening phase, for instance. Ronald Sackville, QC, is the chair of the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability, and he joins me in the breakfast studio. Ronald Sackville, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
The next lot of hearings will be in February around people with cognitive disabilities. What are the concerns about the healthcare received by people with cognitive disabilities?
Well, the concerns relate to the extent to which people with cognitive disabilities are correctly diagnosed, the kinds of treatment they receive, the life expectancy of people with cognitive disabilities, whether the treatment they receive leads to shorter life expectancies. We're also concerned with the way in which First Nations peoples with disability interact with the health system. That, of course, is a much broader issue, but there are specific issues concerning people, First Nations people with disability. And we're also going to have a preliminary look, I think it's fair to say, at the way in which the NDIS interacts with the health system.
Okay, so there's some big sweeping issues to drill into. Just to say with the first session, which is cognitive disabilities, people with cognitive disabilities, what are we referring to? What kind of conditions when we speak about that?
Well, the definition of cognitive disability that we've put in one of our issues papers is very broad. It speaks about disabilities arising from the interaction between a person with cognitive impairment and the attitudinal and environmental barriers that hinder their effective and full participation in the life of society. So it covers the full spectrum of disabilities, and in addition, we'll be concerned with psychosocial disabilities, which can be regarded as, to some extent anyway, a separate issue.
Okay. So it's not just people with intellectual disability.
No, not just that, but that will be a focus of the hearings. And also, there are some other matters that may seem a little surprising. It was surprising to me that there is a link between the extent of or the availability of dental health care and life expectancy, and that's something we're also going to have a look at.
Now, there's a significant link there. We've covered that a lot on this program. People with cognitive disabilities can obviously face a lot of challenges situationally too. And I know that the Commission is taking some steps to help these people feel comfortable in the place where this inquiry is being held. What have you done?
This is a primary responsibility that the Commission has, and I think it's fair to say that it distinguishes us from almost any other Royal Commission, perhaps any other Royal Commission that has been established.
Accessibility
of people with intellectual disabilities and, of course, with physical disabilities. And we take the need to be trauma-informed, is the expression that is used, to ensure that people are not re-traumatised, to ensure that they are comfortable, to ensure that they have the support from counsellors and others that is required. And that's a very major part of the work that we do. So in relation to the hearing coming up, for example, senior counsel, who's very experienced in these matters, has been, for example, for a day to a regional centre, talking with a potential witness in the company of a counsellor to make sure that the witness is comfortable, understands what is happening. We're altering the format of the hearing room, which will be in Homebush in Western New South Wales, to remove some of the barriers that ordinarily would be in a commission room. We are actually going to have on the first day, before the public hearings commence, a practice session so that people with intellectual disabilities or cognitive impairment who are appearing as witnesses will be comfortable in understanding the process. So there's some of the things that we do, and it's something that takes an enormous amount of time and energy, but it's absolutely essential if we're to do our job.
This must be a learning curve for you. I mean, you were previously a judge on the federal court. I think criminal law has been part of your experience, but not particularly disability. Have you learnt a lot from this, what you've heard so far?
Yes, is the short answer. My experience, if that's relevant to this exercise, extends, for example, I was involved in the Poverty Commission many years ago. I've chaired a Royal Commission previously. been on the New South Wales Law Reform Commission. The policy issues are complex, they're difficult, but that in many ways they are similar to other policy issues that arise in different areas. But the short answer to your question is yes, it's been a learning process for me. I think it's also been a learning process for those who've spent a great time within the disability sector. There are so many facets to this, so many advocacy groups who quite rightly are seeking to have outcomes that they've been pressing for many years. You learn all the time.
It's 11 past eight. Our guest is Ronald Sackville, QC, Chair of the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability. The Royal Commission has come into some criticism before it even got going, but after you had your first hearings, you were criticised by some for failing to include testimony from any person with a disability. This was into a week of hearings, I think it was, in the education system, people with disability. How could that happen, that you could have a week of hearings without hearing from people with disability?
Well, we made a decision to start with the education system. Mm. It's not easy, obviously, to get children with disabilities already within the education system to come and give evidence at a Royal Commission. We will, and we made it very clear at the time, this was the first hearing, we made it clear that there will be further hearings on education, and in fact there will be, it's very likely that there will be two further hearings. One will be in March in Brisbane, one later in the year, when we will be hearing from children or former students with disability. That's right. But we did hear from parents of children with disability who told their stories. We then had a hearing on accommodation where we had people with disability and intellectual and physical disabilities who told their stories and did so in a very compelling way. And the hearings that we will be holding for throughout this year will have at the forefront people with disability and others, of course, because parents have an interest in this and there are other stakeholders who have an interest in giving evidence.
As I mentioned, Ronald, it has been a bit of a rocky start before the commission even started. Advocates were protesting, including advocate named Craig Wallace, were protesting the inclusion of fellow commissioners John Ryan and Barbara Bennett. Some proposed boycotting the inquiry. In November, you criticised what you said were, quote, one or two commentators whose contribution often appeared calculated to discourage people from telling their stories to the commission and also to increase the levels of anxiety. Who are you talking about?
Well, it doesn't matter who I'm talking about. What I'm concerned about is at the time, and I think that the issues have faded somewhat into the background, I wanted to make sure, and the commission wanted to make sure, that people with disability were not discouraged from coming forward and telling their stories. We've had now over 500 submissions. We read those submissions. Many of them are distressing. Many of them are compelling. We use them in part in order to obtain witnesses for hearings and so forth, so that it is absolutely essential that people feel encouraged to come forward and tell their stories.
And did you really suspect that some advocates were trying to discourage people?
No, I didn't say that. What I was talking about was that the calls for boycott obviously created a very difficult situation for the commission. No commission wants to have people calling for boycotts. It's not something that was a making of the commission itself. Commissioners are not responsible for who gets appointed to them. So that it was concerned to ensure that the people that matter in this exercise were not discouraged, in fact, encouraged to come forward and tell their story.
And now things are underway. Are people coming forward? Will there be private hearings, for instance, like there was in the Children's Sexual Abuse Royal Commission?
There will. We have not been able to have private hearings before now because the legislation had to be amended. The Child Abuse Royal Commission required specific legislation, but unfortunately the legislation was specific to the Child Abuse Royal Commission. Therefore, the Royal Commissions Act had to be amended. It has been amended. Our first private sessions are likely to take place in early March. Any people who wish to have private sessions, and there are a significant number who have sought that, we will attempt to provide those private sessions with them within the limits of resources, obviously.
And are you resourced to do that?
Yes, we are. And we're resourced, but not necessarily, I must stress, not necessarily for everybody who wants one. That will depend upon the levels of demand and the resources and time available.
And are you confident that people with living with disability, in many cases, will have the agency to know what is available, that that option is available. I know there's been some concern from some, for instance, people who live in group homes, for instance, sometimes there's a power dynamic there. They're not sure that information is getting through to people. Some people living with disability can't act independently. Are you confident that word and capacity is out for those people
Yes, it's not just a question of word. We're very conscious of the need to make strenuous efforts to engage with people, including people who might otherwise not have any real knowledge about the Commission or perhaps about the actions of advocacy groups within the community. So among other things, we're setting up a disability engagement group that will make the efforts and take the positive steps required to disseminate the information to the people who otherwise wouldn't come in contact with the Commission. We have a consultative group set up for First Nations people. The Commissioner Andrea Mason, who's highly respected within the Indigenous community, will chair that and is chairing that, and that will be a mechanism for engaging with people within the First Nations disability community, which is a formidable task and presents many challenges.
And people can find their way through this through the through your website?
Well, certainly they can go through the website. There's a great deal of information on the website. Our media team will be producing documentation very shortly that explains how a Royal Commission operates and explains the operations of the Commission. We plan to have a meeting with advocates and others to explain how Royal Commission hearings work, because I'm not sure, for very good reasons, I'm not sure that's necessarily well understood by everybody wishing to engage with the Commission. So we're taking a large number of active measures to ensure that what we're doing is well known.
Well, it's getting underway. It's underway already, and it's cranking up, it sounds like, and it's so important. Ronald, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate your time, and we hope we can speak to you again perhaps throughout the Commission.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Ronald Sackville QC is the Chair of the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability. And if you want to find out more, if you want to interact with it, perhaps you want to seek capacity to appear or have a private hearing, then you head to that website, the Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect and Exploitation of People with Disability.